Hello, everyone. My name is Doreen Fulton, your host for today's wonderful interview with Mary Marzoni. Mary is a wonderful educator who I came into contact with not too long ago. Mary has created a wonderful website entitled Life After IEPs. And it is designed for young people and parents. It gives them resources and support as they plan for life after high school. And as many of you realize, I created an IEP for me and an IEP for mom. I really feel like we need to have individualized empowerment plans. And as our young people graduate, I think it is really important that we do things that make our hearts sing and that we do things that we love so that we can be role models for our children. Today, I wanted to bring Mary onto the call so that she can talk to us a bit about relationships and recreation after high school ends. Mary, are you with us?
I am, and I'm glad to be here, Doreen. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I am glad you are here. You know, Mary, I know you've done many wonderful things up in Pennsylvania with the Developmental Disabilities Council, and I know that you provide training and consultation for schools and IEP teams. I know you must have some ideas that you can share with moms as they transition into life beyond high school and traditional supports. Shall we get started?
I'd be delighted. And I'm glad our topic today is focusing on recreation and social life. Oftentimes, transition planning focuses on post-secondary education and employment, which are important, but sometimes the rest of life isn't thought about in quite such an intentional way. And when high school ends, a lot of the structured support for relationships and recreation that were tied to school are no longer there. So looking at how to develop a new set of connections and ways to enjoy life as an adult in the community is an important part of transition planning.
I so agree. I know that when my son has come in and enjoyed his day, you know, he has a whole lot more energy to get down business and doing things that need to be done.
That's for sure. All of us.
Yes. Well, Mary, I am glad that you and I will be talking about how to get in touch with, you know, exactly what our young people really want out of life and out of their relationships and recreation. So how does one start to grow a personal network when school is finished?
Well, I think that it would be good to start with the young person reflecting on and understanding him or herself a little better. One of the things that I really emphasize and encourage is for a young person to try out a variety of ways of reflecting on what they are interested in. Now, of course, each young person is going to have different interests and also support needs. But here are some thoughts about that. One way is that I have on my website a link to something called the PYLN Toolkit. PYLN stands for the Pennsylvania Youth Leadership Network. And these young people who have diverse abilities and disabilities have put together some questionnaires that young people can use to kind of understand themselves a little bit better. And because it's by youth for youth, it's very helpful for young people, whether they're still in high school or even as young adults. So that's a neat way just to kind of ask questions about clues, for example. Another way, besides asking questions, which can be difficult sometimes for young people to answer, is to develop a scrapbook or a vision board that uses pictures to kind of identify what are the places and activities and people that have brought joy to me in the past. What environments do I really enjoy? What ways do I like to contribute? What activities and memories do I have that really are dear to me and that give me a clue about what's important to me? There are also on the website some personal preference portfolios that use pictures and also questions together to patch together an understanding of what's important, how I want to use my time.
I love that. Those are really, really great tools, Mary, and they're on your website and available for moms and for young people and caregivers to access. And I love the fact that, these toolkits in many cases have been put together by young people in Pennsylvania. And, you know, I think that my son Robert, for example, would really sort of go after something like that, that was developed by a peer rather than, you know, an educator or another mom.
Yes, isn't that true? That's really true. And actually, I'm now collaborating with a very young, just out of school art educator who is going to be putting together some videos that are that would encourage young people to use art as a way of exploring their preferences and priorities and interests. And as you had mentioned, there is something special that happens when one young person is hearing from another young adult as opposed to, you know, an educator or an authority figure. There's a different dynamic that occurs there.
I love that. That is fabulous. I love the idea of having videos and for, you know, the young people to see one another or, you know, to actually be guided in a video. I know my son would be much more likely to open something up that was visual rather than, you know, something that he's going to have to do with paper and pencil or, you know, that sort of thing. So that's great, really great. And you think that you'll have something like that available on your website this summer?
It'll be up this summer, yes, it will. I don't have an exact date yet, but we're working on it. So sometime this summer it will be up, and the general posture, I guess, or spirit that I'd like to emphasize in this process is one of friendly curiosity. I want to speak to that for a moment, if I may. No matter what particular tools are used, I think the process needs to help a young person to, rather than approach the questions of recreation and social connections from a competitive point of view, embracing this idea of a spirit of friendly curiosity. And here's why. Oftentimes in high school, the recreational activities are competitive. there's tryouts or competitions or whatever. And the idea of self-discovery, of being able to wonder what's important to me, what might I try? If I try it and I decide that I don't like it, what did I learn from that experience so that I can try something new? And that's a very different posture than, oh, I have to fit in, everyone's looking at me, how do I compare to other people? And to be honest, that's the way in adolescence many young people feel about social and recreational outlets. So the idea of this self-discovery and friendly curiosity is not something that most young people at this stage in their life have much experience with. So I encourage the idea of trying to develop a relationship locally with a mentor. And this isn't a formal paid type of a situation in most cases. It can be a natural kind of relationship that develops with a trusted other adult. And when I say this, I mean someone other than a parent, or I will say in addition to a parent. Because, you know, as parents, we know that during adolescence and young adulthood, it is our child's developmental task to separate from us, to differentiate from us, to be different from us. And it helps to have a connection with a mentor who they see on a fairly regular basis to just kind of kick around some of these friendly questions and come up with some ideas about what next steps they might take. So a lot of parents will ask me, well, where am I going to find a mentor for my kids? Like, how do you do that? And, you know, I have a couple of suggestions about that. First, I would pose the question to the young adult, him or herself, especially if they are able to you know, communicate well. Different kids have different support needs, but to start first with the people that they know. Is there an aunt or uncle? Is there someone from church, someone from the neighborhood that they have kind of a natural respect for and comfort level with? You know, I talked to a young man just this past weekend who is 23 years old, and he actually, and this took some courage, he actually went up to someone who he didn't know well at all, wasn't part of his current connections through family or church or neighborhood, but this person was a well-respected dentist, and he was interested in learning about ways other than being a dentist that you could be connected with dentistry. So he actually practiced with someone a script and talked to this person about the idea of being a mentor. That took a lot of courage. Usually we start with people that we already know. Another place to get connected with mentors that is available in every area of the country is something called the Center for Independent Living. Now, that kind of sounds like a place where people live, doesn't it? But right. It's not. It's the Center for Independent Living is a place where individuals who have any sort of disability can get connected for free with peer mentors and also information and referral services so that it becomes kind of a hub of peer networking and mentoring for individuals who again, have any type of disability of and of any age. So I've known young people who have connected with an adult mentor through their Center for Independent Living. And I do have a post on my site. I didn't give you the link for this yet, but I can do that, about how families can find out where their Center for Independent Living is and how to contact them. So,
That's fabulous.
So the idea of, I mean, trying to just, and to be honest, I mean, I'm 55 years old. I'm not a young person anymore, but I still have a connection with a mentor. I like to sit down once a month with this this person who I respect, and we just chat about what are the questions that I'm wrestling with right now, and what could be my next steps to find out more about these questions. And I'm a mentor to a couple of young people and also to a couple of people closer to my age. And so this is not a formal paid relationship. It is a kind of, we just decide, we get together once a month, we have a structure that we've developed that just involves what questions am I asking, what things have I tried this month, what might my next steps be. It's very helpful.
I love it.
Yeah.
So terrific. I know I was talking to a mom just yesterday, and she was at the end of her rope and feeling like, you know, she just didn't know where to actually connect her a young person. She felt like the individuals that were surrounding her her young adult were not necessarily positive role models. And she was looking for possibilities with mentors. And so this independent living resource that you have just been talking about sounds like just a wonderful resource for her and for other moms who, you know, want to get the kids sort of doing some reflection. And I know that when I talk to a friend or a mentor, you know, and I am focusing on particular actions that I can take next, I am much more likely to actually do those things.
We all need a little accountability, don't we?
Yes. So I love what you are suggesting for, you know, our young people and for these moms out there who are looking for, you know, the next step. Perfect.
And in working with a mentor, or, you know, in even as that process of identifying a mentor and beginning to work with that mentor is unfolding, because it's not going to be like a light switch. It's going to take a little while to find the right match. But you had asked about how to develop a personal network, and there are other ways that young people can start connecting with people in the community beyond school. So I could, if you'd like, I could answer that part of your question a little bit with some suggestions. One that I really, really encourage is the idea of volunteering. And this does not need to take a lot of time. Each young person has, you know, might have a very busy schedule with other parts of their life. But there is something that that begins to happen when we use our time to contribute to a cause that we care about with other people that are volunteering their time to a cause that they care about. To be honest, some of my longest and deepest friendships have come from volunteering, and I know that's the case for other people too. I do have a post at this point that's up on the site about volunteering, but one of the key things that I would recommend would be to connect with the United Way in your area, and often there is a database of volunteering opportunities, and you would be amazed at the diversity of opportunities that there are. So that's one thing. Another is to actually, this might sound a little odd, but once our young people have begun that self-reflection process I talked about a little earlier, you know, using the different strategies I talked about, once they have a good handle on, gee, I'm interested in these things. It could be as diverse as, you know, trains or planes or swimming or chess or crafts or, I mean, whatever it might be. The idea of connecting with people they already know and just asking them straight out, what resources do you know in the community that are related to these interests? Because it's amazing what begins to happen when a personal network becomes something that's intentional. For example, who do I know from church who might know about a group in the community that's related to my interest in crafts or singing or railroad history or you know, community history or natural or hiking or ecology or whatever. Before you know it, you start to say, oh, I know just the person to connect you with, or, oh, have you called this place? And that kind of networking, once kids get a taste of it with safe people that they know, well, gee, it wouldn't be that hard to ask Mr. Smith, who I see every Sunday, about whether he knows anything about, you know, my particular interest. That wasn't too scary. Once I get a little practice with it, with people I'm familiar with, then I can start building relationships with the person that Mr. Smith connected me with. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
So starting safely with people I know is a really good way to start finding out about what can be looked at more formally as something called community mapping.
Yeah.
And community mapping, you know, capital C, capital M, sounds like something very formal, but it can also be something very informal that our mentor can help us brainstorm about, that our that people that we know already from our personal network can help us brainstorm about. But community mapping is really just exploring the people and organizations in my community who have information and resources that are related to my interests. So, you know, like there are some good places to always start in every community, like the Center for Independent Living, I just think is a great place to start to make some connections. But another place is the community college in your area. There's a lot of recreational and enrichment opportunities on community college campuses that don't require being enrolled in classes. WISE are great places to start with community mapping. The library in a community often has a lot more information and connections than we realize. The United Way. So these are good places to learn more about the resources that are related to our interests. And then we can start getting more specific. Like I know a young man, for example, his dream was to be a pilot. And the reason his dream was to be a pilot was because he loved planes. But as it turned out, his skills and connections and things led to a path that involved working in the evening, cleaning offices, and he loved the path, the wages that he was making and the work that he was doing. He did well, but he still had this love of planes. Well, there regionally is an aeronautics museum in our area, and he now volunteers there, and from that he has made relationships with pilots and people who work on planes, and he's been able to have rides in private planes, and he's developed friendships with people who also love planes, and it just became his outlet for his love of planes. That's the kind of thing that can happen if we have the spirit of friendly curiosity. Like, I wonder where do people in my area who like planes hang out? How could I contribute to what is happening there? What can I learn from what's happening there? I could tell you stories. There are a young person who loved to hike, didn't really have anybody to hike with, didn't really have a way to get to hiking places, started to volunteer with a group that maintained trails in a local conservation group. And just one Saturday a month, he spent the morning helping to maintain trails. Well, he met a whole network of people who so now he's got people to hike with, people to, so that's the kind of, it's organic, but it does require some intentionality, but it's not like you go to a program for this. You kind of have a spirit of, like I said, friendly curiosity to learn a little at a time.
Yes, yes. Well, I mentioned that I was talking to a mom yesterday who was looking for resources and different connections in her community. She had moved from Florida to New York to be close to family, and her son had a real interest in aviation, as you were speaking of right now. And, it was like she had gotten him into a school that was aviation centered, and he was having a terrible time with his studies and wasn't really doing so well. But the fact is, you have just given us much food for thought, like maybe there's a museum that he could get connected with right there in New York City that would give him access to the aviation world and, would give him some joy rather than frustration with studies. So,
I love how you just shared that example, Doreen, because if we reflect a bit on our own life, I'll reflect on mine. My job, I have a job right now as an educational consultant with an organization, and there are many things that I love that are, in fact, connected to my job, but there are many things that I love that are not connected to my job, and I need to intentionally think about how to stay in touch with those things that I love in a way that is not related to employment. Sometimes we feel as though it's our job to guide our young people to careers that are directly connected to their passion. But it's important to understand that our passion can be realized in our life in every or any aspect of our life, whether that be career or whether that be how we spend our free time. And sometimes careers can require, you know, frankly, skills that we don't have. I mean, I am very interested in singing, and I can't sing well. So I actually lead a hymn sing at a nursing home on Sundays, and I love it. But they don't worry about the fact that I don't sing well. Do you know what I mean?
And, right, they're enjoying you, know, you enjoying yourself.
Exactly. So I don't have to be great at everything I'm interested in. I can find other outlets. I can ask myself questions and try things out and find fits that maybe I hadn't thought about before.
I love it. Mary, you are such a joy. I really, really love all of the resources that you have shared with me. I love your website, and I think that you have so many interesting blog posts. And I know that you are interested in really helping moms and young people in even more ways. I know you put together a survey, and I'm very excited that you are, you know, getting input from parents and mentors everywhere, so that you know where to focus your time and attention to actually meet their needs. I think you're doing a great job, and the fact that you want to do more is just really inspirational. Thank you, Mary.
I really appreciate your encouragement. And what I'm finding, first of all, I thank you for telling folks about the survey, because it's something that I'm doing actually in collaboration with some other sites that also want to support parents, including, you know, yours, because you're spreading the word, and I want to be able to people take the survey anonymously. They'll be able to actually enter a drawing for the chance to win an actual customized planning session with me, which hopefully will be helpful too, because I'm finding that parents are letting me know these tools are great, but I'd like to know how to apply these strategies with my particular young adult who has these particular support needs. And in fact, every young person that we're trying to support does have very unique needs. So I am hoping to get to a point where I am providing that kind of individual, you know, consulting on the blog sometime soon. So thank you for letting people know about that.
Oh, my great pleasure, Mary. And I do know that sometimes, you know, these very wonderful resources and strategies that you have just really, you know, shared with us can be a little bit overwhelming to moms who are trying to balance so many other things, you know, and trying to figure it all out. So the fact that you would be interested in, you know, having a planning session where, you know, it could be clearly outlined and, you know, something that would come that would be a guide for taking the next step is just really fabulous.
Well, I have to say that over the years I've been so blessed and have learned so much from journeying with young people and their parents. So it is a mutual blessing, and I'm glad we had a chance today to talk a bit. That's great.
Well, thank you, Mary, and I am quite sure that you will continue to make a valuable difference. And I will be following you and, you know, trying to, encourage moms and young people to follow their dreams, their passions, and to live lives that are fulfilling and satisfying. And I think that they all get some real help from you, and I appreciate the time that we shared. Thank you for now, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks, Doreen. I look forward to collaborating with you in the future, too. Thanks so much.
Have a great day, Mary.
You too. Thanks, Doreen.